Welcome to Summon Your Superhuman. I'm your host, Rhea Mestiza, holistic health coach, mind-body performance practitioner, and this is the Pull the Curtains Back insight into how everyday superheroes have experienced tapping into their superhuman potential. To go from fear, frustration, and struggle to soaring next-level astronomical heights, I believe we all have more amazing within us than we know. I believe we all have unique superpowers, and I believe we all deserve to be our superhuman best. So let's dive in.
Welcome to a live episode of Summon Your Superhuman. I am here with a fellow Adelaidean. Her name is Matilda Rose Gilfillan, and she is your next career move coach. I knew I was going to mess up.
It's a mouthful.
Mindset coach, career coach. She does all of the different things, and I'm so excited to bring her to you today. She's had quite an extensive journey of disconnection from her career, and now she specializes in finding connections for others. And obviously she's found that with herself and her passion. So welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's really cool to be here and to do this in person. As we said, I feel like, you know, there's so much online, over Zoom, over meetings, you know, all virtual, so it's nice to be able to actually, you know, meet in person a fellow Adelaidean and be able to have just this chat like we would, you know, any other day. So thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. Definitely. So let's unpack a little bit of what I know. Now you've just closed a chapter and you're about to open a new one, but let's just go back to the previous one, because I find that very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you've been juggling a full-time job and doing a side hustle.
Yeah. It's been a whirlwind. Even, I guess, the step before that, just to give, I guess, a bit more context might be a bit handy. So I studied psychology, loved psych, loved the degree, knew I wanted to help people, knew I wanted to work in a similar sort of space to that. But at the end of the degree, it just didn't feel right to go down that clinical path. And started to take a bit of time off, worked a whole heap of hospo jobs, did like random stuff, came back to Adelaide and found myself in recruitment. And, you know, ask any recruiter, no one, you know, dreams of being a recruiter in school. It's just like something that sort of falls into your lap. Again, loved it because it was like very people focused, relationship driven. It came quite naturally to me, the sales, not so much, but definitely the people side. And then fast forward a couple of years, I decided it's time for me to do some travel. I wanted to find myself, had this whole, you know, 6+ month trip planned, quit my job, moved out of home, and then COVID hit. This was beginning of 2020. So I all of a sudden had all this time on my hands, and nothing had gone to plan, and I was in a real like victim mentality of like, why me? Like, why has this happened to me? You know, the universe hates me. I felt like I was so stuck and I was so stagnant, and I had no goals, I felt like I had no future. And I know that sounds like really dark, but at the time I was just so low. And it was through that there was light at the end of the tunnel, and I was exploring different avenues and chatting with a friend. Life coaching came up, and I thought, yeah, like this kind of encapsulates everything that I want to do. Like, I'd never really considered owning my own business or starting my own business, and I wanted to do it in a really sustainable way. So balancing corporate and business for me has just been normal. Like, it's just been, you know, working at nights. I'm a huge personal development enthusiast, so I'm always investing in courses, in coaches myself. So on top of corporate work at times full-time for long stints, managing my business, the back end, the front end, clients, and also being really committed to my own growth, because I think all coaches, similar to yourself, once you start this journey, it's like, oh, like I want to know more about myself. Like, you learn so much about yourself in the process, and I really fell in love with that. So yeah, the last, I want to say it's been a year and a half in business, but longer than that, like doing my life coach training.
Yeah.
And as I was saying to you before, it's just become routine. Like I can't imagine anything else, until now, I guess. So I just finished up my last day in corporate yesterday. which is huge after having that as part of my identity for so long. And so now it's like I had to just jump and just, yeah, I mean, I didn't feel ready. And the thing is with my clients, it's you're never going to feel ready. So it's just do the thing. Nothing can go wrong. Like it's just see how things go.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations on making the leap.
Thank you.
I feel like you've done it in a really methodical way. You know, a lot of people just, well, no.
It might sound like that on paper. Like yeah. It hasn't felt methodical. Like, yeah, it's felt at times one step forward, two steps back and ups and downs. But I guess looking back, you know, every twist and turn, there was something to learn and I wouldn't discount any of the steps back or sideways or whatever. I actually feel not quite yet, but I feel like in time I will think, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I take the leap sooner? But at the same time, you don't know what you don't know. So, yeah, I guess there is a little bit of method. I'm not the sort of person that's just going to jump into stuff without a plan. Like you plan as much as you can, knowing that you can never fully have everything sorted.
And if we know anything, not everything goes according to plan. So
God, no, that would be boring anyway.
Exactly. So, all right, let's go back a little bit. So because a lot of people I feel might be going through that transition where they're not sure they're in the right job. Mm. Is this really it for me? Is this really what I want to be doing? And they're not really thriving and they're not really having that passion in their day to day. So you were in that spot. You were in that place where I'm like, oh, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it sounds exaggerated, like you said, but it happens because you're just like, oh, what am I really here for? What am I really going to be doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were in that place and I guess it takes time. And you said that someone kind of suggested life coaching to you because of your psych background.
Yeah.
You know, so and then you thought, hey, like it could kind of resonate with you. Is that sort of how it kind of happened? Or
yeah, well, I think like leading up to that point, you know, if I was to be really honest, probably throughout like most of my life up until that point, I felt like I didn't have a why or a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I kind of saw people around me who were passionate and like, you know, my partner, he has been very inspiring for me as well because he's so passionate about his job. So at that time I would see him, you know, so excited, like not excited but motivated, driven, wanted to do his best, and I just, you know, not only him, it just felt like everyone around me had their thing and I didn't know what my thing was. And I part of me I think just gave up on it, just thinking, you know what, like a job's a job, I'm just going to do it, you know, earn a salary, whatever. And it's only through a series of unfortunate events that I was led to my purpose and my why. And sometimes it does happen like that. It's like you've got to go through the shit and the mud to, you know, build yourself up and become who you were supposed to be or who you want to be. But I think for people who feel disengaged and stagnant and stuck, like just don't settle for that. And I think people that say a job is just a job is they're almost like justifying their own unfulfillment. And I just do not subscribe to the idea that a job is just a job because, you know, it's your health, it's your connections, it's your livelihood. It impacts, you know, when we're in a shit job that is unaligned to us, it's exhausting. Like it takes all our energy to be there. And I hear, you know, clients and people say it's almost like they've got to put on this mask to go to work because they don't feel like they can be their true authentic selves there. And that just, you know, it breaks my heart because that's not what life's about. And we spend like, I think it's like 90,000 hours of our life at work, like a third of our life at work. So to say a job is just a job, it's not a way to live, I don't think.
Not, definitely not long-term. You know, something my father used to say is, you know, it's better to have a job than no job, or at least if the job is a stepping stone to the next one. So you do have to go through the shit in the mud I like that. Even in work situations.
Yeah.
Because then, and in any situation, actually, because I think that you have to go through some really rocky times to get to the good ones and to appreciate the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through, like, I've had some really crappy jobs in my time, but it's made me appreciate the good ones.
Yeah.
And it's given me skills and assets that have enabled me to be better in my other roles. Mm. And people love that experience. Like, when you meet with a recruiter, they love the experience that I'm able to unpack for them, because I'm like, well, I've done this, I've got skills in this, and they're like, whoa. So that's actually more appealing sometimes than having a piece of paper that says you've just finished a course.
Yeah.
So it's your attitude, it's your confidence and how you approach things.
Yeah, totally.
I digress. I want to go back a little bit to, you know, some people I know are really interested in, you know, they're saying they're not they don't have the confidence to jump into business.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate is all they've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you start that process and juggle it?
Mm. So I guess it started with my training. So I studied with the Beautiful You Coaching Academy and loved the course. It was a really nice mix of the business side of things and how to start a business and how to grow a business, and then also, you know, the hands-on logistics of how to coach and that sort of thing. And obviously my psych background really supported that and led quite nicely into that. With the business side, I guess it's messy. Like, there's no neat starting something and it going amazingly well, because there's, you know, there's so many things that you don't expect. And I was saying yesterday to like one of my corporate colleagues, like, you have to wear so many hats, which I don't think I was quite prepared for. So I'm not a numbers person, but all of a sudden I'm my own financial advisor or accountant. You know, I'm doing spreadsheets and I hate Excel. And you're doing the invoicing and you're doing all of the content and socials, like Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, building relationships and all of the other stuff on top of actually doing what you started the business to do, which is coach and work with your clients. So in terms of how I guess started it or made it happen, like, there's no secret formula or step-by-step process that you can do to make this sort of thing happen. It was just sitting down and making it happen. It was just like creating time and not kind of feeding into my own excuses of like, I don't have time, I, you know, can't afford it, blah, 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 blah. And for me, like, when it comes down to the money and the finance side of things, it just made so much sense for me to keep corporate and not put pressure on myself from the get-go. So I sort of had a bit of a safety net. In that same vein, having that safety net, I feel, has been quite limiting as well, because making good money in corporate means that I haven't had to go all in on my business until now. So I think everyone's situation is different financially, so I'm not here to say you must do this, you must do that. I would recommend for those who are considering starting a side business to hold on to that job. I know if you're feeling, you know, stagnant and unfulfilled in it, I know it's really hard to do that, but just for your nervous system and for you know, financial security, it does help, especially when starting out. Just like having that kind of buffer there, and while you're learning to be the financial person, the marketer, the, you know, the admin assistant, while you're learning to do all of that, it really helps to just have that steady income coming in. So that, but again, everyone's different, and I think there's not a one size fits all.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that you've said it like that, because it's true. There is this unrealistic expectation, I think, that everything's rosy when, you know, you start a business and it's all like, oh yeah, you know, it's not like that. It's definitely not like that. It's literally like, it's even worse than a baby trying to learn to walk. Like, it's you know, you fall over. There's so much to unpack there. And, you know, in a lot of courses, and even, you know, when I first studied to become a personal trainer, It's like there was no talk about business whatsoever.
Mm.
And I came from a corporate background. So then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I'm running a business. I'm like learning the ropes. I'm doing all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't even touch the marketing side, to be honest. Yeah. Like, and, you know, it's just like going back to 12 years ago. It's like, marketing, I have time for that.
Mm.
I got to do everything else. I've got to create programs. I've got to do the admin. Yeah. I've got to do this. Like, take care of my clients. I've got no time to do any of that other stuff. So yeah, I'm glad that you've touched upon that, because it's unrealistic expectation.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist.
Mm.
And you know, and everyone's situation is different, so it's good that you emphasize that. It's like, we in this day and age, we kind of do need that security, you know. And if you've only known corporate, having that security is peace of mind.
Yeah,
because then otherwise you're stressing out about like, oh, am I going to be able to pay my mortgage or my bills or live?
Yeah,
you know, and you don't want that added pressure on top of the pressure of trying to, you know, be known for whatever it is that you're endeavoring to do.
Yeah, yeah. And you just reminded me of kind of two points there. I've forgotten the first point, but the second point was that when we're trying to force something and we're coming from that real like lack and scarcity mindset of like, oh my God, like I've just quit corporate. I need to make as much as I was making in corporate in my business. Like, and it's like a real, like people can sense that energy, and it's not magnetizing for your clients. They don't want to work with someone that's like feeling very like forced and scarce and like, I need clients right now. And that's not the energy that we want. And I find, like, I found with me, like having corporate, it's like everything on top of corporate that I've been making in my business, that's just like overflow and like very like much abundance. And that energy is what has attracted more and more clients for me. I'm trying to think of the other thing that I was going to say. Yeah, that's the other thing. So like you just reminded me, starting a business and being a business owner is one of the biggest mindset things I think that we can never do, because it's obviously like learning all the different parts and processes and actually doing the job as well. But you learn so much about yourself, and that is really challenging and confronting. And like they say, I don't know what the percentage is, because there's a lot of business owners that will quit within the first 12 months. And I honestly believe it's because it's like, it's a really confronting path to go down. You've got people around you that don't understand it. They don't get it. They've, you know, worked for the man all their lives. Like, why would you start your business? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's true, so risky. And, you know, you're putting yourself out there, especially this day and age with social media. And we sell ourselves as coaches. So we have to be front and center. And for me, a huge mindset challenge has been like talking on Instagram stories. And like when I first started, I just felt robotic and awkward, and like everyone was judging me. And I've come so far just with that one small part of business. And that's like, I understand now that, and I think this is a really important lesson for everyone, if someone is judging you, it's a projection of their own insecurities. And that's something that I have to keep reminding myself of, because that fear of judgment is, you know, it doesn't just magically disappear. It's still going to be there. But it's like, if I can remind myself, it's not about me. It's not anything that I'm posting or putting on socials. It's their own stuff. Like, and just keep coming back to like my why and my purpose and that sort of thing. So that went down a tangent there. But the main message is like, it's a huge mindset thing starting a business. And like, you kind of have to not be prepared, but you have to be willing and up for that journey, because it's a journey and it never ends.
Yes, but it's also a very rewarding one.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to like, you got to go through the crappy times to get to the good ones.
Yeah.
And we'll say off camera, it's I love that you're coming from a place of mindset and career because they are the same.
Mm-hmm.
They are the same. And any good coach knows that, because even I emphasize mindset with the coaching that I do, because if you don't have your mind right, like, you know, some people think they're just coming to me for, you know, nutrition and training and all this other jazz. And they're like,
and they learn.
They get so much more than they bargain for, because then it's like, we're actually rewiring your belief systems and your confidence in what you actually feel you're capable of.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mindset is like, I say it's everything. I know it's not everything, but it, it does feel at times like it is everything. And I think they say it's, you know, 80 to 90% of the challenge. And I was chatting to someone yesterday and they're like, oh, do you deal with like managing change and change management? I'm like, I'm definitely not a formal change manager or anything like that. But with coaching, like you're taking someone from A to B. So I'm taking them from where they are now to like their dream career that, you know, pays more, that treats them better, that it's more fulfilling, more satisfying. And that's a huge change. And we don't like change. Like we fear change. Like it's from evolution. We, and I say this in my workshops, it's like a bit of a random one, but the way that we are programmed is to fear change and anything that is a potential risk. So, you know, the poison berries, the tiger in the woods, all those things, we fear what we don't know and what could be a potential risk. We still have that same fear response biologically. So a big part of my work with clients is like, I know what you're feeling right now feels very real and it's very, you know, overwhelming. It's like changing, supporting them to change their relationship with fear and know that what's on the other side of it is, you know, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. That's the dream job. That's, you know, what they've been missing. And so it's like, again, kind of going through that and viewing fear as, I guess just a bit of a tap on the shoulder saying, hey, you're about to do something big. You're about to do something that is unknown. I know it's scary. I know it's overwhelming, but this is what's on the other side of it. So let's move through it. Mm. Let's stop waiting till we're ready or we've got our ducks in a row or things are perfect, which is what I hear a lot with clients, even myself. Sometimes I'm like, nah, things aren't, I don't have everything lined up. Oh, hold on a minute. That's not actually going to happen. Like let's do the thing now. So yeah, it's, there's a lot to it, but yeah, I guess it's change essentially.
Yeah. We'd like to be comfortable and making big changes in our life and in any sense is uncomfortable, but that's where growth happens.
Mm.
That's basically it.
Yeah. The magic happens outside of our comfort zone.
Correct. Exactly. So
that's a cheesy little thing that I like.
Yeah, but it's true. 100%. It's 100%. And yeah, I'm full of cheese. I like cheesy quotes too, but
yeah,
they really get the point across.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's like, if you have to follow your intuition.
Yeah.
And your intuition will tell you when it's the right time. It's just you, whether you're willing to pull the trigger.
Because
you can delay it, but it's going to come back. And you go, oh, but not now. You'll make excuses.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, not the right time. Yeah. There's never the right time.
Yeah.
It's just when your intuition tells you to go, go.
Yeah.
And if you can make it work, make it work.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that you could do.
You just reminded me of one of my favorite quotes, Rachel Walton. It's, and I'm going to probably butcher this, but it's, there's no such thing as the right time. There's just time and we get to choose what to do with it. And I keep coming back to that in my workshops, in my one-on-one work, because we can get so bogged down in waiting for the right time. And I feel like if there's one message that I want your listeners and audience to get is that there is no such thing as the right time. Like it just doesn't exist. Readiness is a myth. So if there's something that you want to do, like I know the fear's there, I know that the overwhelm's there, I know that it's scary, but like if not now, when? Like you've just got to make that move and, you know, make friends with the fear and do it anyway.
Mm, absolutely. So I think not everyone is got that appetite to run their own business. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think everyone is destined to run their own business because there's so much involved and a lot of responsibility. Sometimes you can just be the greatest employee and that can really fuel such joy in your life.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of the things that you talk about and do as well is helping prepare people for the next potential role that they want to do.
Yeah.
So they're in a current role and they're like, hey, I've got an appetite to perhaps be a manager or something else. So take us through then what that kind of conversation would look like.
Yeah. No, exactly right. I'm not here to say that there's anything wrong with being career driven and not being your own boss. Absolutely. I've had some really fulfilling, happy, satisfying years just being an employee. So when it comes to, I guess, the next move, it can look so different depending on, you know, what the individual wants. So Is it an internal promotion and putting their hand up for a role with more responsibility and a higher salary? Is it doing what they're doing because they actually like the work, but moving to another employer who potentially offers more flexibility, maybe it's a slightly different industry, or is it completely like is it a complete change in role and in industry? So that's the first step, because I see so often people just diving into the next thing without actually taking the time to work out, okay, what do I value? Where are my skills? Where are my strengths? People don't need to get too bogged down in the future, but having some sort of idea of potentially where they want to kind of move does support that. And I find with one-on-one clients from the get-go, it's okay, let's set your goals. And through that process, it's like they get to know what their priorities are, a little bit more about who they are and what they want. And I find there's a lot of clarity just purely in that process. So that's the first step of working out what is the move, what is the change that they're looking for, and then the strategy and the mindset is informed by that piece. So I probably should have mentioned before. So I use my signature coaching framework I call the Next Career Move Method. So we move through clarity, strategy, and mindset strategies, depending on, again, what it is that their goals are and where they're wanting to go. So first piece is clarity. I know that if you're feeling unfulfilled, stuck and stagnant, you want to make the move now and you just want to jump and get out of potentially a toxic workplace. I completely sympathize and understand where you're at. But if you don't take the time to really work out and plan and strategize of what that next move is, you could potentially set yourself back and be quite detrimental to, you know, your well-being and just your career growth. And so I really encourage people to take that time to really nut out what's the next best step and how that's going to transpire.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I've seen that with a lot of people as well. And it's just you're basically running away from potentially a situation or an environment or a workplace that you're unhappy with.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh, this one looks shiny and new and better.
Shiny and new.
And it pays more. It's going to be amazing. But have you done your homework? Because the next workplace might look shiny and new. And then you go there and you realize their expectations are, hey, you're on a salary for 38 hours, but we expect you to do 45 hours, including overtime and things like that. And have you actually prepared for that? Are you prepared to work longer hours, longer days, get phone calls throughout the middle of the night? Is that what you want your life to look like?
Yeah, 100%. And like I do say to clients, there's always going to be an element of the unknown, because we can never fully know what something's like until we're in it and we've started and we're there. But, you know, there are just taking the time throughout the process, because, again, I see people just rush into it and take the first thing that comes along without fully, like, processing and kind of weighing up options, because there's always options. And I think people feel like they're backed into a corner and they don't have any options, so they just take that first thing that comes around. But, yeah, I think you're right. It's that shiny object thing of, like, just looking for the next thing, no matter what it is. It's just like, yeah, it's got to be better than where I am now. You don't know that. So take the time while you're still in a role, while, you know, even if it's toxic and not quite right, while you're still in a role, you know, you've got money coming in, you're in a position that you can wait for something better.
Mm. And sometimes people need to go through the process of figuring out what they want. And they might actually realize that their current job is actually pretty good after all.
Yeah, which is what I've seen in my corporate recruitment experiences. Like, you know, we'll start a process with a candidate. They will be interested in the role. They'll, you know, have questions, and, you know, they end up working out at the end of the process. You know, we may have interviewed, we may have offered, that what they've got is actually really good and they don't want to give that up. Mm. I mean, very often that's also encouraged by their current employer offering more money, which is a whole other conversation. But at times I've been able to tell that candidates are just, you know, testing the waters to see where I am in my role sit right now with the market? Is there anything better out there? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be fair. Like, if you're just wanting to do a little bit of research and see, you know, where you're sitting and what kind of, I guess, opportunities and offers and benefits are out there, there's nothing wrong with staying where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, like, going through that process and then deciding that.
Yeah. I think it makes you appreciate where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, it puts things into perspective and makes you appreciate what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because we do spend a big chunk of our time working.
Mm-hmm.
And the people we're around and the environments we're in is really, really important.
Yeah.
Speaking of importance, one of the services you provide is writing resumes, so helping people write their resumes. Mm. How important is a good resume?
It's like first impression. So, you know, you always say a first impression matters, and your resume is, you know, your first impression when you're applying for a job. So it's make or break, and I know that sounds dramatic, but it really is, because if you're not, and what I would say is the most important like aspect of a resume is your experience section. Other recruiters, hiring managers, employers might say otherwise. For my time in my experience in recruitment, if someone doesn't have the right experience, like it's a no. And not that it's a no, but that's the first hurdle. And very often when I find with clients with their resumes, when you've been in a role for like a significant amount of time, you actually forget what your duties and responsibilities are. And it's really hard objectively to actually dot point, this is what I do day to day. So that's kind of like one of the core things that I support clients with. It's like, let's break down your role, what it is that you actually do, and word this in a way that aligns with, you know, your job. You know, obviously not lying, but you do want to ensure that your experience and is communicated in a really clear, concise and professional way. So yeah, resumes are really important. I would say that LinkedIn is also really key, because you want your resume and LinkedIn to mirror each other. And I'm also, the way that recruitment is and the market is, it's quite unique in that a lot of roles that I've been filling recently have been through LinkedIn. So we'll advertise, we won't get the applicants that we want. So it's then going to LinkedIn to headhunt. So yes, your resume is important if you're actively applying. I'd say if you're a passive candidate and just sort of you're happy, but you're also, you know, if something better came along, you'd want to have a chat, that's where your LinkedIn's important. Because that passive candidate, they're not actively applying. So you want to ensure that you've got everything up to date and relevant on your LinkedIn profile.
Mm.
And I'm just obsessed with LinkedIn anyway. So.
Well, that's how we met.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear that a lot. So, like, employers headhunting candidates through LinkedIn.
Yep. I would say, especially with quite technical roles, I'd say in my last 2 and a bit years recruiting in defense, let's take grad roles out of it, I would say more than half came from LinkedIn.
Wow.
Yeah, especially senior technical roles. And I'm quite, like, I've seen, like, I've got friends in agency recruitment, and it's pretty similar with a lot of non-technical roles and non-management roles. It's like they'll always advertise, so there'll always be a job ad up. It doesn't seem to capture the level of talent that they want, and that's where they'll go to LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say depending on industry, depending on role, that's going to inform, you know, LinkedIn, like headhunting versus active applications. But as a job seeker, make sure you've got a really strong resume and make sure you've got a really strong profile, because even if you're happy, you just never know what's out there. You just never know who could be knocking on your door on LinkedIn, not at your home, with an amazing, incredible opportunity that just feels like such an up level and the next right move for you. So, yeah.
So a great resume. And then now we've got the dynamics of an online resume, which is LinkedIn. Yes.
Yeah.
And is it important for people to be actively posting or not really?
It depends what your goals are. So, like, with clients, you've got business owners who want to work on their personal brand. You've got job seekers who want to be more visible to, you know, recruiters and such. And I'd say, yeah, most of them will either fall into those two categories. And then others are just like, they know that it's important to be there and to have a presence, but they may not be super clear on what their goals are through using it. With clients, will get them to ease into it because it can be quite daunting to just start posting as soon as they are on the platform. Mm-hmm. So by easing into it, it could be, you know, sharing relevant articles or posts that really resonate and align. And then I think, you know, after that sort of initiation of LinkedIn, then it's being your own thought leader. And you know, thought leadership, especially for business owners and when you're working on your personal brand, is key. You know, people want to know where you stand on certain things, what you stand for, what you value, and who you are as a business leader. And that will come through posting. It's not going to come through sharing other people's things. It's not going to come through liking. It's going to be your own unique content and marketing, essentially.
Yeah, because a personal brand is important, right? And I obviously learned that in my career early on. It's like, I am my walking billboard.
Yeah.
You know, and I pride myself in practicing what I preach.
Mm.
So personal brand, what you post, all of these things are vital in how people portray you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's their impression of you, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in today, you know, today's day and age of we're online so much more, your personal brand is your LinkedIn. In the corporate career arena, if you're not on LinkedIn, essentially you don't have a personal brand. Unless you're like super, super active networking and face-to-face and that sort of thing. But even still, people will still want to check you out online on LinkedIn. If they can't find you, it's like, that's a bit odd. Why aren't they there? So yeah, I absolutely love the personal brand conversation. And I think, again, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a job seeker, no matter who you are or where you're at in your career, your personal brand matters. And there's so many simple systems and processes that you can have in place to ensure that you're being seen by the right people. You're, you know, you've got things where they need to be able to attract dream opportunities, whether it be now, whether it be down the track.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a piece that's missing a lot from people when they're looking for new opportunities. It's like, let's go ham on like applying and putting our resume out. But like the other thing with LinkedIn is you don't know who your connections know.
Mm.
And if they're liking or commenting, like especially in Adelaide, which is so relationship driven, it's so brand driven and you know, just everyone's connected somehow. So leverage that. And by leveraging it, that's by using LinkedIn, that's how you can leverage those relationships. So it's like, oh, you know, my dad's cousin works there. Like that's my dream organization. And so, you know, you can find a way to weasel your way in there. It's so much easier than relying on face-to-face and
yeah,
just pure applications.
Yeah. Relationships and reputation is a big enhancer of your ability to succeed.
Mm.
It's like in any relationship, whether it be personal or professional, yeah. It's like, hey, oh, you're friends with Matilda, so then you must be all right. Like, yeah. She likes you.
Yeah, yeah. It's that trust. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's that trust. Like, we're social beings. We, and that's a big part of my business growth is through word of mouth and, you know, my clients being my biggest advocators and people saying, oh, you know, Matilda's working with so-and-so. And I think that's 100% right. And you just reminded me, I feel like I want to quote. But you just reminded me of a quote that I really resonated recently. And it's, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. Again, I might have butchered that, but I think it's so true.
It's pretty accurate.
Surround yourself with, and I guess taking that connection thing a step further, if you surround yourself with people who expand you and push you and want the best for you, it's just, it can be the difference between you being where you are, like where you are and where you want to be.
Yes.
So I think as business owners, especially when we're so like, you know, can be quite siloed and quite isolated at times as well, it's important to have that network. And I think LinkedIn is great for that as well.
Yeah, amazing. And I think as coaches, you know, who understand the importance of having coaches, you know, and how much faster you can get to your destination. Because can you imagine if you had us in your corner, right? It's like, how much faster can you get to the goal that you're wanting if you have the right direction and the plan and the things in place that'll get you there faster?
Mm-hmm.
It's so valuable.
Yep.
And I know that I've been picking your brain and your expertise about a lot of the stuff in terms of recruitment, because obviously that's what we're here to talk about today. But I want to dive a little bit back into your personal, which is now that you've closed your corporate chapter, what are you most excited about now in this next, you know, you're a full-time business owner now.
Yeah, full-time business owner. What am I most excited about? As well as like everything overall and being able to, I guess, put more time and energy and just, I think it's the time factor, to be fair. Like, I've been stretched and pushed and pulled, and, you know, I've taken client calls in my lunch break at corporate, and then a lot of stuff I've been doing at night. Like, you know, I had a meeting at 8 o'clock last night. Like, it's just, you kind of got to fit things in a jigsaw puzzle. And I felt like I haven't been able to put my all into either because I've been stretched over both. So I think I'm most excited about having the energy, time, and space that I've wanted for this business for so long, and to see what I can do with it when I'm able to give it 110%. I think that's what I'm most excited about. And like on a, I guess, a less like big, bigger kind of thing, I'm excited to do a later gym class in the morning so I get a little bit more sleepy. And again, it comes down to time, but just having time to like fill my own cup and look after myself and really just live a much more like on purpose aligned fulfilling life.
Absolutely. You know, when you've got purpose and meaning in your life, you're just so much happier and being able to sleep in.
Yeah.
It's something that really fills your cup in a great way.
Yeah.
So I guess this leads me to a question that I ask all my guests, which is, what does summoning your superhuman mean to you?
Summoning my superhuman. So I feel like this has been a bit of a theme for today and something that I've touched on, but I, again, want to drill this message home as much as I can. But for me, summoning my superhuman is jumping when I don't feel ready and making the move and taking the action, even though potentially my mindset hasn't quite caught up yet. And this is something that I say to clients as well. It's like, sometimes we just have to take the action, do the thing, take the move, take the step, and our mindset will catch up, because then we have the evidence of we can do this. And it's challenging. Like, it's not easy to do. It's hard. Like, when we don't feel ready and we don't feel like our ducks are in a row and we don't, like, it's not the perfect time, it's hard. Like, it's not easy to take that step, to make that move. But when you do it, it's like, holy shit, I can do it. And it's like me coming out of corporate and going into business full time. I didn't feel ready. I felt like shit, like I haven't saved as much money as I wanted. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I feel like summoning my superhuman is making that move even though I don't feel ready. That's where the magic happens.
Yeah. I like it. That's a beautiful answer. Jump.
Yeah, exactly. Jump. Yeah. Jump with me.
I mean, sometimes you want to jump in, there's going to be a safety harness or something.
You can have bits and pieces to catch you, but you're still going to take the jump. Like, yeah, I know. It's, everyone will do things differently and there'll be method to the madness, but I think we can spend our whole lives waiting if we don't jump.
Definitely. I think that you've got to determine what's important to you, which is why a lot of the what is your why conversation is very important in the work that we each do. And even with me, before I even started this career, I jumped from corporate straight in.
Yeah.
No harness, no safety net, took a massive pay cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, but because I loved it and I knew that this is, I felt like it was, I was in the right place and I had to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just all I knew. And I just persevered.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you have to continue your education. You have to continue finding the right mentors and people who will lead you
the right journey. 100%.
You know, you've got to invest in yourself and then eventually it all works out the way that it should.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest risk is not taking the risk.
Mm.
I read that this morning. Another quote.
Nice. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Matilda. This has been so great. Mm-hmm. I will put all the ways you can contact and connect with Matilda in the show notes.
Beautiful.
And, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's been fun. It's gone so quick.
It has.
Time flies when you're having fun. And I'd say it's safe to assume if you've listened this far, that you could be contemplating some career alternatives, changes, or perhaps contemplating some choices. Nonetheless, if this has been some food for thought, which I hope it has, that perhaps it might be time to seek the guidance of someone like Matilda for some non-biased perspective into what potentially could be your next move if you feel that there is a need for one. Often we do shy away from change, as we spoke about, but change is inevitable and it can also be a very positive thing, even if it means that you decide not to move, but your job satisfaction in being where you are, or that clarity in knowing that that job serves you, could pay dividends in many, many ways. So again, I'll put all the ways you can connect to Matilda in the show notes. But until next time, superhuman, strengthen your mind, body, and soul muscles, and stay amazing.